Rebecca Labina of the Small Business Development Center of the Northwest Missouri State University. Small Business Development Center, your guest on this part of the hotline this morning. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Barry.
Well, I can tell that your Christmas week has not been maybe all that you would normally have it be. you're gathering information about from the coronavirus bill about how small businesses are going to be affected, and this bill is getting information out of it. It's kind of difficult. You've had to do some searching around in order to even find a spot online where you could find something out.
Yeah, so the bill itself is over 5,000 pages long, and it wasn't even published for like on congress.gov that publishes these bills, so you can actually read the text and not just the summaries and stuff. It wasn't even published until Monday, late Monday. And so when I finally was able to read through the bill, I read it Monday night. It's not like a book where you can just jump to a certain section. You know, you have to find, well, where are they talking about the PPP or the EIDL or this or that? Because, you know, the rest of the bill had to do with budgets and allocations and things like that, and fisheries and like all kinds of fun stuff is in there. But I was like, okay, this for now, all I care about is how does this affect the small business world, and so that I can get that information to people so that if or when the president signs the bill, that this actually goes into effect.
So can you boil down, say, how many pages out of that 5,600 pages of stuff actually pertains to how small businesses are going to be affected?
Right. So roughly 300 pages pertains to the small businesses regarding the Paycheck Protection Program, the EIDL advance, some information on unemployment. So things like that that affect the small business world is roughly 300 pages.
And so have you been able to go through all of that, and have you waded through the legalese that's part of that?
Yes, I have. I have. And it's funny because when you read through it, it's like, okay, so here's the snippet that I need. But you have to read, okay, does this apply to everything or just this part? Yeah. So I read through all of it and all of the subparagraph 1AIII for this word instead of this word. You know, that's all in the text. But people are, you know, welcome to go and read it online. It's fun reading.
Well, a lot of people around here depend on you and depend on other people to get particular information and to boil it down and so that it can be understood. And you've got a reputation for being able to do this and do it well. You get called on to do seminars and mm-hmm. webinars, and you've got a webinar coming up next week on this very thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, our organization, the SBDC, and the St. Joseph Chamber of Commerce have partnered together for me to be the speaker at the webinar next Tuesday at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk all about this, and so if anybody misses part of it or has questions, they can certainly. Obviously, they can call in this morning if they have questions, but next Tuesday they can sign up for that, and it's a free webinar open to the public.
Okay, well, what are the relevant facts? What are the basic things that people need to know?
Okay, so the first thing I wanted to mention is just something that some of the business owners never – it's amazing to me, but they never had even heard of it even a month ago, but it's been out since April 1st, and that's the FFCRA and the required paid sick leave. So the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, as of April the 1st, required that small businesses are not exempt from this, that they are required to pay sick pay for a COVID-related quarantine. So if someone goes to the doctor and they have COVID and they have to quarantine, a small business owner has to pay sick leave, and they cannot require that employee utilize their own sick time first. They have to pay this federal sick leave to the individual, whether they are full-time or part-time doesn't matter. They have to pay it. And so that's been in effect all year. And now it's been, again, if this bill is signed into effect, this will get extended from the end of this year. It was supposed to expire December 31st. It will now be moved to March 14th of next year.
So this is a requirement under the previous bill that is in this bill as well, if it does get signed. Is there also relief, though, that is offered to go along with that?
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, you can receive all that the money that you paid for that individual to quarantine and stay home. You can receive that back in the form of not having to pay as much payroll withholdings. So when you file your 941 quarterly filings at the every quarter for payroll withholdings, or your accountant does that for you, you just need to be sure to let your accountant know that, hey, I had a person who was out on leave that I paid sick time, and it was COVID-related under the FFCRA. And so then they'll know that all of those wages that you paid – so not just the withholding tax, but all of the wages you paid, including any insurance, which now also includes dental insurance and life insurance, any insurance at all that you paid for them, all of that will be subtracted from whatever you owe on your standard withholding.
Okay, so it's kind of like a tax credit, only that's really maybe not using the term correctly.
Right. So it's not officially like a reimbursement, and it's not on your income taxes, because it shows up on the withholdings. But either way, that's money that you would have had to pay out, and now you don't have to pay out. So it's a wash, essentially. You paid it out for sick time, but now you don't have to pay it for withholding.
Okay. So it's, in a way, it's like a reimbursement, just in the sense that you're having to pay less of something farther down the line.
Yeah. So it's definitely a credit, yeah, on your withholding taxes.
Wow. And that's just one thing.
That's just one. That's just a little nugget that I wanted to make sure everybody was aware that was going to be extended, and make sure that they're aware that they're supposed to do that. Because I've had some people, there's bad information out there where they're like, well, if you're exempt from small business, I read if you're a small business under 50 employees, then you're exempt from that. No, you are not exempt. It's very specific in the language. You are not exempt. The only exemption for that is if it would cause you to close your business. And you'd be really hard pressed to say that if you were going to pay that employee anyway, now you can't pay them sick time while they're off without closing. I mean, I'm not saying that couldn't happen. I'm sure there are instances where that could happen, but that would be very rare. Mm-hmm. And you would have to prove that as well, because the employee can then file a claim against you and say, you know, under this, they were supposed to pay me sick time and they didn't.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you yet. We'll just see how much time is left near the end of the program.
Okay.
So I won't ask you yet about the fact that business liability protections were, in the end, not included in this bill. I do want to get back to it if we have time.
Okay, sure.
Because it's a big issue.
It is, yes.
So other elements of this package that small business needs to know about.
Okay. So just real quick, the pandemic unemployment supplement. So before, it used to be $600 in addition to your regular unemployment. If your employees were unemployed, they would be able to receive an additional $600 on top of the regular amount of unemployment. That has been extended through March 14th as well of next year, but it's only $300. So it's still in addition to the regular unemployment every week. So that's a weekly amount, $300 extra dollars every week during the pandemic through March 14th.
So I think it's like 11 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, it's 11 weeks. It goes through March 14th. The last payment can't be received after April 5th. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So so that was less than the $600 that was really kind of controversial last time around, because a lot of people on unemployment were making more than they would make on the job,
mm-hmm.
and not exactly a strong incentive to get back to work.
Right, exactly. And so who knows if that's the reason that they reduced it? I'm not real sure. But now it is just going to be $300. Another thing that I wanted to let people know about, and this definitely affects businesses out there, and that is the SBA. We're calling it the EIDL advance. EIDL is actually EIDL, Economic Injury Disaster Loan. So there was a period of time where businesses could apply for the EIDL loan, which they still can. They can still do that even today. But as part of that application, you could receive $1,000 per employee as a grant, and up to $10,000. Okay, so in this bill, They have now made it so that they said that the intent of the original grant was for all businesses to receive the $10,000, not based upon employee number. So whether you had two employees or you have 200, you would be able to receive the $10,000 grant. So in the text of the bill, they said that was the intention. And so if you have received the EIDL advance, but you in the past, and you had and you did not receive $10,000, you can now go back and receive that difference. And if you received the $10,000 before, then you're good. But if you didn't apply for it at all and received nothing, or you applied too late and the funds had ran out because the grant was only available for a short period of time, and so but now they're making it available to every business can receive the $10,000. So even if you are a sole proprietor, self-employed, one person, before you would have got the $1,000, you can now go back and receive the additional $9,000, so that in a sense you got the full $10,000.
Would that sounds like it would apply to a lot of really small businesses?
Oh yes, definitely, and it will make a huge difference for them, especially for those self-employed individuals who don't have other employees.
So you really are announcing what could be good news for a lot of small businesses.
Oh, this is fantastic news for the very small, you know, micro entrepreneurs out there. Absolutely. And even better news for it is that in the past, the EIDL grant, if you also received the PPP, the Payroll Protection Program, if you received that plus the EIDL was subtracted from your PPP. And so making it essentially you had to pay for that part because you received both funds, the PPP and the grant. So in this new bill, they do away with that and say, no, that again was not the true intention of the program. And so what they're doing is anyone who in the past received the EIDL grant, even if it was just $1,000, and they also received the PPP, when they went to apply for forgiveness, all their PPP was probably forgiven, because everyone I've talked to, their PPP was 100% forgiven. No one has not received it being forgiven, with the exception of that advance grant that they received. That part was not it was subtracted from that and therefore making it a loan. And so anyone who has received both of those, and you know, the EIDL wasn't forgiven, so then now they've had to start making payments on it. The text says that they will make them whole. Now, how they do that, I don't know. They don't know either, because it specifically says that the SBA will have 24 days to come up with that process on how they're going to go about doing that. So there's a timeline there, too, in which they have to, once this is signed, that they have to actually come up with the process to figure that out. Like, how are they going to do that? So it's very good news for anybody that received the advance grant before, as well as the PPP. Now they don't have to worry about repaying that advance grant.
So could that amount to a substantial amount of money?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep in mind, the most they could have gotten for the advance grant was $10,000.
Right.
But for some businesses, that $10,000 now turned into a two-year loan. And not like anybody needs an extra loan at this point in time in our economy. So while the money was good up front, you know, on the back end, now they're having to start making payments. Well, my advice is obviously keep making your payments on time until the SBA, you know, figures out the process, which should happen in the next month.
Rebecca Lobina is with us now. We're going to be back with more of her findings from going through the more than 300 pages of data that is about small businesses. That's part of this COVID relief bill that just cleared the House and the Senate this week. Really quick work and detailed work by Rebecca. More coming up. Talking with Rebecca Lobina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center about what she found wading through the – wading is maybe the right word here.
I agree.
It's kind of like going through a swamp in a way, but through all this legalese, trying to get the nuggets of information out about the COVID relief package and how – it applies to small businesses. You've brought some nuggets here this morning.
I have. And one that I think a lot of people will like to hear is that if they received a PPP loan, And they haven't asked for forgiveness yet, and it's $150,000 or less. They are now simplifying that process to where if it's under $150,000, all you have to do is certify. There's going to be a one, gonna be, not yet, but there will be a one-page certification that says, yes, I used the funds like I was supposed to, and essentially that's it. You will not have to show any documentation for how many employees you had before and during and after, how many FTEs that was, if anybody reduced their salaries, no payroll records, no documentation, just self-certification saying, yes, I got this money, yes, I used it for how it was supposed to be done, and then you turn that into your lender and move on.
Wow.
Yeah. So not technically a auto forgiveness, which is what I had even talked about in the last, you know, several months, but pretty close to automatically forgiven. So you do have to certify that you used it as you were supposed to. And I think everybody did because they were all worried. I mean, this is federal money, and if I don't use it like I'm supposed to, I'm going to get in trouble or it'll turn into a big old loan. And I just talked to somebody like two nights ago who was saying the same thing, like, oh, I heard these – everybody's having to pay them back. And I'm like, no, 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 no.
There's so much misinformation going around out
There is. And a lot of it has to do with how many iterations and changes took place around the PPP and even the EIDL Advance grant. So there were so many little changes that happened here and there. And so it's like that information that you received might have been correct for 3 days, and then and then it's like, no, they made it, they clarified it, the SBA clarified it, and then therefore it's like, oh, so now we know for sure this. But then that information, you know, like they say, it's on the web, it's there for life, right?
Yeah.
So once it's put out there, people might get a hold of that, and that's like dated March or April or May or June, and they think that that's the final information, but it might not have been, you know? I mean, there was an interim final rule just last month in November on the PPP, which hasn't been given out for 3 months, you know? So,
it's really a good point. Check the dates on stuff.
Definitely.
And see, I mean, I get stuff all the time. People send me information or a story about something, and I look on, I always check the date.
Mm-hmm.
This was a 2014 or whatever. Well, it's old information. It may not be applicable anymore.
Right, so. Absolutely. And if you are looking at information about this particular relief package, there were significant changes that happened just in the last 5 or 6 days of the bill. So the final bill is out there for review, but just make sure that it's dated Monday, December 21st. And I think the timestamp on it is 10:26 a.m. because there's a timestamp on the bills. And so that's the bill that you want to read.
Wow.
You know, if you've got.
Or call Rebecca.
Or you can call me and I'll just tell you what it says. That's right. But this bill actually allows for, if you do need a PPP loan and you didn't get one before, they're going to reopen that program. And you have a lot more things that you can utilize the funds for that you couldn't use before. And then also, if you have received a PPP loan in the past, you can now apply for a second one. Or if you have a PPP loan still and you haven't asked for forgiveness of it yet, you can ask for an increase in it, which would essentially be asking for a second one. But it would be an increase on the first one. And so there are stipulations. If you're getting a second round or asking for an increase, you have to show a 25% reduction in revenues during one of the quarters compared to one of your quarters in 2019. But other than that, it's just pretty much straightforward, and it works the same. You get 2.5 times your average monthly payroll. Unless you fall into NAICS code 72, which for those out there that probably don't know what that is, there's some of you who do, though. But a NAICS code is just your industry code. So 72 is like the restaurant industry for the most part. So if you're in the restaurant industry, they are now allowing you to get 3.5 times your average monthly payroll instead of 2.5 times. And you'll still have up to 24 weeks to utilize all your funds.
Okay. Well, that's a good break is that because restaurants have probably been as hard hit as anybody?
Yes.
Maybe more?
Yes, absolutely. That is definitely why it is. There's also a venues grant that will be made available, and it is truly a grant. It is not a loan, and it is for live venues. Nonprofits as well as for-profits can apply for that. The money is limited, and there is a timeline on it. And so it's there's like an initial 14 days for something, and then 14 days after that. And then if the funds are still there, you can still apply. And if they're not, then you can't. So it's, if you want more information about that, you'll have to contact me because it's very, very detailed on the venue grants.
Venue grants. Okay. You know, my ears just popped up when you mentioned the nonprofits are eligible for this, because I'm in a nonprofit organization, and we're always looking for help right now.
So live venues like theaters, symphonies.
Symphony.
So any live venue that has live performances, these are the ones that are going to get the grants. Even, I think, movie theaters, there's a special section for movie theaters as well, because obviously they haven't been able to do anything hardly, so if at all, if operate at all.
You may be hearing from our managing director soon, looking for information.
That is absolutely so, okay.
Okay, super.
Along the nonprofit line, too, just wanted to – do I have time to talk about that, Barry?
Yeah.
Okay. So 501c6s are included in this bill as well. So before, 501c6s, which is a lot of the Chamber of Commerce's around this area, are 501c6s. They were not eligible during the first round of PPP. They are now in this new bill. So if the president signs it, then there'll be some Chamber of Commerce's and economic development organizations and things like that that couldn't receive PPP before that now can.
Okay. All right. So Rebecca, we're down to about a minute left. What are the highlights that people need to remember? And you do have that webinar coming up next week.
Yeah. So webinar on Tuesday, December the 29th at 11 o'clock. It's free. It's open to everyone. So all you need to do is go to register so you can get the Zoom link. And you just type out stjoseph.com and go to their events page, and that's where you can register. Also, if you have any questions about the bill, how it applies to you and your business, please contact me directly. My phone number is 816-364-4105. I am on holiday, but I will be answering calls.
Rebecca, thanks as always for coming in and sharing with us, and we appreciate all the hard work you do.
Absolutely. Thank you, Barry, for letting me be here and give out the information.